sunshine.
Open up your sleepy eyes for me.
Can't have your heart in.
Welcome to Tuesday morning. Evan Bray, great to have you here on what is the last day of September. One more day before we flip the page on the calendar. Boy, you wouldn't know September if you look at the temperature. This afternoon, the thermometer, over 30 degrees. Parts of the province, 31, 32 degrees. On this, the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, which is an important day in our country, certainly an important day in our province as well. And along with that, the show today reflective of that, lots of great guests joining us today, highlighting some great Indigenous leaders. In fact, we've got a few coming up. We're going to talk about an important announcement in a moment that was made in Isle of La Crosse yesterday. I've got a great guest on the show today who not only takes care of our pets in the province, but also stars in a TV show. Dr. Allison Hay, maybe you've seen her on Wild Rose Vets. She will join us today. We take a visit to Wanuskewin Heritage Park. We meet a filmmaker of an award-winning film, a Canadian military veteran, many years with the Canadian Armed Forces, who is now the Grand Chief of the Saskatchewan First Nations Veterans Association. And, of course, we're going to take a dive into some recent news. Donald Trump, along with Benjamin Netanyahu, coming up with what they call a peace deal, whether or not Hamas will sign on to it or not. Open lines and open phones happening at 9 o'clock this morning, as per usual. Let's get going with today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show. The Big Talker.
As I mentioned, it's the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, and in that vein, yesterday, Premier Scott Moe in Isle of Crosse for a very important announcement with regard to the residential school in that community.
And as part of this agreement, the province has agreed to pay $40.2 million to address the four major pillars of compensation under the class action that was filed. And those four major pillars are that the former students shared a common experience, that there was individual abuse, that the community requires legacy, healing, wellness, education, language, culture, and commemoration. And finally, the addressing of the legal fees, the disbursements, and the costs associated with the administration of the entirety of that settlement. As a government, we will support a claims process that is, for this, that is simple, expedited, trauma-informed, and cost-effective. The government of Saskatchewan acknowledges the past. I would say that we are committed to continuing to work with Métis and Indigenous people in a way that respects the wishes of not only them, but the communities that are impacted. Residential, whether it be day or industrial schools, are a shameful mark on Canada's history, with harmful intergenerational impacts on Indigenous and Métis people. Simply put, these schools were a mistake, and they shouldn't have existed. Today, we acknowledge the role of the province of Saskatchewan and previous Saskatchewan governments in the operation of the Isle of Crosse School until 1970s, into the 70s. And today, on behalf of the province of Saskatchewan, I apologize to you.
So that was Premier Scott Moe yesterday on behalf of the government of Saskatchewan, issuing an apology for the role, for the government's role, the provincial government's role in the operation of the Isle of Crosse School, agreed to $40.2 million in restitution. And here to talk about this and join us on the program this morning, a fellow that I've had the opportunity to work with off and on through the years, Brennan Morasty, who is with Métis Nation Saskatchewan, self-government, self-determination, and justice minister for MNS. And I'm very happy to welcome him to the program. Brennan, thanks so much for taking the call.
Hey, no problem, Evan. Thank you for this opportunity, and good morning to all your listeners.
So you were there yesterday for this historic apology and announcement. Maybe just let's start with how did that make you feel, Brennan?
Well, for me, my emotions were running high, and I'm still feeling those emotions because all our Kukums, our Mushums, our aunts, our uncles, our families, and even more, my late father, Allard Arthur McCollum, was a survivor, and he took his story to the grave. And it wasn't until after his passing that my brothers and I come to learn about his experiences. So it helped us in our healing journey. As Premier Mo said, there are intergenerational impacts, and he's not wrong. We see it alive and well every day in our communities throughout the province and our Indigenous communities. And, you know, our late father didn't talk about it, didn't acknowledge it, took the story to the grave. And now it's up to me and my brothers to change that story, acknowledge his, and speak about it. So we're doing that every day as we go down the path of healing for ourselves.
You know, it's interesting, Brennan, and I appreciate you sharing your very personal connection with the residential schools, and you talk about your late father. What about the even younger generations of Métis citizens in the province? How do you think they view residential schools, and what is their view of something like what we heard yesterday from the province, the apology and the announcement?
You know, the apology was a good thing. A lot of survivors appreciated Premier Mo and his government for doing that. It does go a long way as we move this file forward. Truth and reconciliation, that is a prime example of it coming into motion, being in action. For our younger generations, we need to teach them about the residential schools, the actual history, and tell that story. We cannot sugarcoat it because there's such a disconnect from what actually took place to where we are today. And institutional concepts like that no longer work for our people or anybody for that matter. You know, as our local president, Louis Gardner, stated, they were designated numbers as their names in replacement of their names. And numbers are used in the current institutions we have in society. And so it's time to change the path forward. And we got to talk about residential schools, what took place, what didn't work for our people. And that's more like boxing us in and stripping us of our identity, our culture, our values, and more importantly, our language. The young people need to be educated. The survivors, in speaking with Premier Mo yesterday, were talking about calls to action that are Métis specific to who we are, our realities, because so many families are disconnected, and that is in relation to the intergenerational impacts. We see it every day, and we need to get to work on that front.
Brennan Morasty is my guest from Métis Nation Saskatchewan. Can we talk, Brennan, a bit about there has been a struggle. You and I have talked about this very informally over lunch. The struggle for Métis people in our province, in our country, to be recognized as part of Indigenous peoples here. And even with the residential school announcements that were made and some restitution that's been paid, it's been a while before we got to this school at Isle of Crosse. And I think this announcement, along with one earlier from the federal government, maybe taking steps to recognize that you cannot miss the importance of this school. Can you talk about how Métis people are doing when it comes to being recognized as part of TRC?
You know, it's been a long time coming for our Métis people, our Métis Nation Saskatchewan government. The work on the residential school here in Isle of Crosse has been ongoing for 30-some years. The late Don Fable initiated the process with other local community members such as Philip DeRocher. And Philip DeRocher is still a part of the coordination and supports behind the scenes for our Survivors Committee. The Métis Nation for a lot of years had to bum, beg, and borrow to find the funds to be able to deal with this file, to move it anywhere, let alone to the courts. And, you know, through the self-government recognition agreements with Canada, the Métis Nation Saskatchewan back in 2019, with direction from the Survivors Committee, was able to financially support and cash manage the committee and the work that they had to do. As you know, that's well over $2 million in legal and so on. So that work has been supported, has been done, but it doesn't happen without the Métis Nation Saskatchewan government getting their footprint and their place in Indigenous governments and with the agreements with Canada. But even more, the work of our president and what he's done to lobby and network with other leaders in our government to open the doors with the province of Saskatchewan and the federal government of Canada. You know, it takes a lot of lobbying. We're changing attitudes from decades of ingrained education and behaviors. And so it's about starting with a conversation like you and I did over lunch informally and getting to know each other and sharing our stories telling those stories, so that you can begin to understand where I come from, who I am, and where we're going. And Our government has done that work. It's differently. It's unique. It's distinct to who we are. And we continue to do that. And we have a long ways to go yet. We have so many other files in front of us. But now the healing begins. We get to turn the page. The chapter does not definitely end here. We have to turn the page, begin the healing process with our Kukums, our Mushums, our young families, so that our people can be aligned in who they are, find their spirit, and find their strength to move forward.
Brennan Morasty is my guest with Métis Nation Saskatchewan. So along with the apology, which I think from a symbolic standpoint, I saw many elders in the crowd yesterday or that were present for the announcement from the province, wiping tears from their eyes. Clearly, it's having an emotional impact. But along with that was restitution. And this, of course, is a supplement to the federal government's restitution that was announced earlier in the year. Any idea, have you talked about how that will roll out? Is there any details in that yet, Brennan?
There are some small details there. It's still going to be about a year before the government's released the funds to an administrator that we can agree with as a committee and the governments, provincially and federally. And, for example, with the Indian Residential Schools, I believe Deloitte was the administration firm. So we got to go through that selection process after the King's Bench approves the agreements. And then we develop a process for survivors to apply and be qualified and then be paid. So we're looking at about a year minimum still in regards to process for this to take place. But you're not wrong when you say the Kukums and the Mushums in the room were full of emotions and tears. Kukum Eliza, who's 91 years old, Kukum Bush, who was in her later 90s, was there. And, you know, they waited all those years for this day. It came, and now their families and them can heal and, you know, turn the page, like I said earlier, and do something different.
You know, Brennan, I know you well enough to know that I can ask you this question, because there's a somber tone to today with a recognition of past failures, of things that are dark in our history and we are not proud of. But I also know you're an optimistic person. You're a person that wants to see the best in people. What is your message going forward? What is the ideal path forward for our province, for our country?
You know, for me, I have 25 years lived experience. And so with that experience comes understanding. And for me, over the years, the last so many years of my healing journey, I've come to know that institutional concepts will not heal our people. It is discovering our spirit through identity, culture, values, and language that will carry us forward. It will ground us. It will give us the balance that we need in everyday life. And more importantly, a connection with purpose. Then we can say, "Tainantotita," which means don't worry. And that has been my groundedness as I move forward. And I stated this earlier, 25 years lived experience. From there to where I am now is unheard of. It is something that our citizens can't bear, don't even see, and you know, I'm living proof that it's possible, and it's because I did things differently. I didn't do the treatment centers. I didn't take a pill or a medication to take away the addiction from me that I endured for 25 years. I had to reflect with myself in a safe space to grow and be nurtured to do it differently.
Brennan, I appreciate you joining our program. Thanks so much for sharing your perception of yesterday and your view of a path forward.
Thank you, Evan, and have a great day, buddy.
Thank you. Brennan Morasty, who is Métis Nation Saskatchewan, self-government. He used to be the special advisor to President Glenn McCallum. That was actually how I met Brennan, but he now is in an elected position with Métis Nation Saskatchewan, self-government, self-determination, and justice minister for that organization. And we appreciate him being here after yesterday. The provincial government of Saskatchewan officially apologized to survivors and families for its role in the historic abuse and trauma that occurred at the boarding school for Métis and First Nations children at Isle of Cross. And that's where we talked with Brennan from live this morning. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.